Ask the Podcast Coach for February 20th, 2016.
Let's get ready to podcast.
I feel like Billy Idol. I am dancing with myself. And you have to be over 30 to get that throat. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcast questions answered live. Honest to goodness, pinch me. I bleed. It's fun. I am Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com. I've been podcasting for almost 11 years. Coming up in April will be my 11th year in podcasting. And I am here every Saturday morning at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And it's hilarious because I can't remember if my, I don't believe my co-host is going to be here today, who is normally Jim Collison from theaverageguy.tv. I left him a little message in a little private group we have, and I said, are you in today? And he hasn't responded. So I'm thinking that's a no, which means you are my co-host today. And we have a lot of things to, a lot of things we can definitely talk about. And, but the way this works, you'll see right there, there is an open seat, and I leave that for you to ask questions. But here's what we're going to do instead. Today, we're going to talk about Anchor a little bit. And here's Anchor is, I believe it's anchor.fm. And I put out a thing that said, hey, if you have a question for Ask the Podcast Coach, send it on over. And at Dan Shore did. And it goes a little something like this.
Hey, Dave, what a cool idea. I have a question for you. One thing I'm concerned about as I'm getting ready to launch a podcast is maybe somebody will find my podcast, but what do you do to keep them engaged and turn them into a one from a one-time listener into a subscriber and hopefully a dedicated listener? Because it strikes me there's so many new podcasts coming out now. People have way more options than they ever used to. So do you have any tips for getting people to subscribe and listen to more than just one episode?
Yes, I do, actually. Harry Duran from Podcast Junkies does this. And my buddy Eric K. Johnson from Ask the Podcast Coach, that's this show, Dave, from Podcast Talent Coach does this. Eric, of course, has like 30 million years in radio. Oh, an award-winning guy in radio. And it's called The Tease. In fact, I'll do one right now. I believe today is Saturday, and later on this evening, the feed will have a special announcement in their show. So something's happened over at Libsyn, and you got to listen to the feed tonight to find out what it is. That is a tease. And Harry's really good at doing two things. He'll say, hey, if you like this show, last week we talked about such and such and such. And you go, oh, I wish I wasn't here last week. I should have listened to that. And then he'll say, and next week we're talking about so-and-so. In fact, Eric Johnson from, again, podcasttalentcoach.com does a good job of this where he was saying something. He's like, last week, he almost did a series. He's like, last week we're talking about this and this and that. And then at the end of the show, he goes, and next week we're going to dive deeper into this. And I'm like, oh, I want it to be next week now. So I'm tuned in. I'm definitely staying into that. Now, the fun part of that is that means you have to know like what next week is. And for some of us, that's not an option. I know this week on the School of Podcasting, we're talking about what I just played, Anchor. So I have somebody who uses Voxer. If you've never heard of Voxer, V-O-X-E-R, it's a cool little kind of, it's very similar to Anchor. But what Anchor is, to give you guys a little insight into it, it's kind of a social media thing, which part of me goes, another place to check. And it's pretty cool because you basically log in. It kind of force feeds you to sign up. Like there's no way to go over and just look around. It's like when you log in, it's like, okay, you say your name and you go through this whole nine yards and you can basically say, here's such and such and such. What do you think? And so I know Daniel J. Lewis from the Audacity to Podcast is over there. And it's a great way to, A, get feedback for your show. I could see saying, hey, on episode number 500, I go through some of the common mistakes that new podcasters make. If you want to check it out, go to schoolpodcasting.com/500. And you can put, I believe, links in your description. And you have a limit to the description you can put. And you have 2 minutes to leave what they call a wave. And then people that reply have 1 minute. Now, the thing I'm finding about this is the fact that you can get lost over there. It's 2 minutes for your wave, 1 minute for the reply. And so I've left a couple questions and people are replying, but they're not answering the question. Like one of my questions was, what were some of the, if you already are a podcaster, what are some of the mistakes you make? Now, somebody did, Mike, C-A-S-E-A-Y, left this reply. This is one of the mistakes he made. And it works much better if you plug the iPad back in. I unplugged it to plug in my phone. Here you go.
My first podcasting mistake was that I started self-hosting. I've been podcasting over 10 years, and I started with a GoDaddy account instead of just using somebody solid like Libsyn. And then after a while, I got another host, different self-host with TypePad. And then I started uploading files to WordPress because I switched to WordPress. And then I have a couple Podbean accounts, host files on my Podbean account. And then I host files on a Libsyn account. So I've got self-hosted files on Libsyn, files on Podbean, files on TypePad, files on WordPress. That's just stick with one host right off the bat.
So I thought that was one reply, but the interesting thing, there are about five other replies and none of them answer the question. So my whole thing that I see with Anchor is it could be a very cool tool because you can tweet out a reply, you can embed a reply, you can embed a whole conversation. So you could have like a topic for your show. So let's say next week we're talking about whatever, you know, French toast recipes. And so I could say, what's your favorite French toast recipe? And I could take that of me saying it, embed it on my website, and people, I believe, can reply. I can answer that question in 2 seconds. I believe you can actually record a reply on the website. Yeah, you can click on reply to it. It takes you over to Anchor. You have to enter your mobile phone. That's interesting. So you can reply via phone, which is kind of between you and me. I don't really want phone. I mean, because then it's going to sound like the phone. Unless what it does, it might send you the link to the app as opposed to calling you. But that's interesting. So I've just been playing with it. If you've been playing with Anchor, feel free to come on down and let me know your thoughts of it. And if you have just any question on anything about podcasting, again, the seat is open. And we do have one question here from Sean Kelly. I got a shirt today. It says, have you seen my podcast? It's huge. This is from Judy from farmandwife.com. And Judy was in one of my podcasting in 6 weeks classes and just felt inspired to send me a shirt. And the cool thing was, it's a large, and I was like, ooh, I haven't fit into a large in a while. But being that I'm now down 26 pounds, it fits. And I was like, well, that's cool. Now I haven't washed it yet. We'll see what happens after that. Here's a great question from the one and only Daniel J. Lewis from the audacitypodcast.com and podcasting places. I think that's right? Is it podcasting places or podcast places? I always forget. Podcastplaces.com. If you're looking for where do you list your show, iTunes and all that other fun stuff. Thoughts on Anchor versus Clamor? Well, I'm going to echo Daniel's Anchor post that he did on this, and I agree. Clamor is a great tool for taking snippets of pre-recorded stuff. So if you hear this and you're like, oh, wow, that was really, really cool. It's really easy to hit a button and then another button and then do the time thing and then share it. And that'll go out on Clamor. Clamor has no E because, of course, E's are evil. So it's C-L-A-M-M-R. It's a free app. And it's really kind of cool. You can embed Clamors on your website and such. And Anchor is more for sharing your thoughts on something really cool. So I could see, and it's a little bit, to a certain extent, like Twitter that way, where you can basically reply to a reply to a reply. And all of a sudden, that's kind of how I got addicted to it because I first started out. And I just said, hey, I figured what my first wave was. And then somebody replied almost instantly. And then I replied to the reply, and hey, what do you know? We're having a conversation. It's a time shifted conversation, which I've always said is basically what podcasting is. So it's in that aspect, it's a lot like Voxer. Voxer is basically turned your phone into a walkie talkie. So the difference between Voxer and Anchor is, and you'll hear more about this on Monday's show. Voxer is a private conversation. Anchor is a public conversation. And then Clamor is you sharing content that's already recorded, but it is getting a little messy on all those. But I just know I was really surprised because I'm going through, there's a hashtag, I think it's podcasts. And I'm like, it's supposed to be, in theory, people talking about their favorite podcast or questions about podcasting. And I come along and hear somebody, and look, I am not offended by the F word or any other of those words. You know, I could care less about the seven dirty words. I just find it amazing when people make it their first impression. To me, I'm like, really? That they're just gonna, hey, you know what? F and just, you know, and they start doing their show, which is interesting because there's no setup to the show. It's just in the middle of it, they're like, start talking about their French toast recipe. And I'm like, what? Why would I? So to go back to that guy's previous question of how do you get people to stay subscribed, stay focused on your topic and get to it. Yeah, people think they're Marin. Yeah, I guess maybe, you know, but I always point out that when Howard Stern went to satellite the first week, he said no cussing. And I think after that, he's let that alone. But he wanted to prove that he could still be entertaining and that it wasn't just about pull my finger jokes and dropping the F-bomb and things like that. So, but I started hearing noise and I started hearing people saying, and this is the epitome of, I always say, bring value, reach out to people, bring value. And then, you know, if you say, like somebody asked about how do you get on other podcasts? And I said, oh, and I gave him a little, here's some tips, here's some things like that. And I said, if you want to go to schoolofpodcasting.com/501, I just did an episode on that. So that's, yes, it's pimping my show, but it's also answering his question as opposed to other people going, hey, yo, it's Dave Jackson from Binky and the Wiz. Check us out at binkyandthewiz.com. And there's no, and people are like, what's a Binky? What? Huh? You know, that's, you gotta set the basement before you put the house on it. So, it'll be interesting to see. Right now, remember when Ello, I think it was E-E-E-L-L-O was like the next big thing. And then, you know, something else was going to be the next big thing. I do have, let me find my OneNote, in terms of, I will put this in the chat room. Weird. I was being cute and put a SH at the beginning of that. And that sounds like a post. Never mind. We're not going to go there. Let's not dissect the word chat, shall we? In eMarketer, I didn't realize, well, I kind of knew this, but I didn't know this. Facebook, 89.4 million users this year. Let's see, I take that back. 162.9 million users will log on to Facebook at least once a month. 89.4 are users of, where'd it go? Instagram is now number two, and Twitter is number three, to which I went, I have an Instagram account. I can't get it to work. I signed up with the name Podcast Coach, and I must have fat fingered my password. So I've gone to them to say, send me my password. And to make a long story short, I'm just in this infinite loop of it doesn't send it to me, and there's no support at Snapchat, or not Snapchat. See, exactly. Instagram. So it's always kind of fun. With that. But I thought it was interesting that Instagram is now number two. Now, part of that, of course, is because it's owned by Facebook. So I think there's a trickle down effect with that. But that, again, is where I was like, OK, Instagram, Snapchat, Anchor, you know, Voxer, Blab. The problem with all these places is the more places you're at, the more places you, in theory, have to check. I've been really horrible at checking, in some cases, Facebook messages, and Google Plus is another one where I rarely go over and see if somebody tried to contact me via Google Plus. Because I always tell people, if you want to contact me, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. And I have all my information over there. And I'm looking for email and voicemail. Those are my two biggies. But it's interesting. So that's the other thing. I'm like, oh, this is another thing we're going to have to check. And then the question is going to be, when I go over to check it, am I going to get any value from the feedback that's coming over there? Is it just people going, come listen to my show? So, so if you've been using, if you haven't tried Anchor yet, or if you have tried Anchor, feel free to come on in. Like I said, I'm going to be talking about it on Monday's show on the School of Podcasting as well. Jim Harold wants to know, what do you think of Nielsen wanting to get into the podcast measurement, having worked in traditional radio? I'm not a fan. Your thoughts? Here's the fun thing. I just think it's hilarious about this. Nielsen thinks that after 11 years of not sharing any stats they have, unless you have a network, podcast stats, that Apple's going to go, oh, sure. Here's all the stats you want, for just because we're nice and you're Nielsen. And after all, you've been doing this for a lot. No, I think it's dumb. Here's the thing that's really driving me nuts about this whole thing about podcast download measurements. I left a comment on, there was a Wall Street Journal, and they said, A, they keep using the phrase wild, wild west of measuring podcast downloads, when there have been companies who have been spending millions of dollars to make sure you get accurate results. And it's like they don't exist. And that would be PodTrack, especially Blueberry and Libsyn. So they've been measured. There are experts in the field of measuring podcasts, and it's like they don't exist. Because, well, what do you mean you don't work for NPR? Well, if you don't work for NPR, then you don't have any clout. It's kind of amazing that way. And yeah, so if you're not Nielsen, you're not official. I don't think so. And so these companies, and here's the really weird thing about this: these companies, Libsyn, Blueberry, PodTrack, have been meeting at the IAB. It's this little, you know, powwow thing with all the big players, including public radio. And public radio apparently got impatient and went, oh, we're public radio. We are public radio. Oh, I don't have my effects turned on. And this is our standard. Well, their standard is great if you want to have like really inaccurate numbers. And why do radio people want inaccurate numbers? Because they're used to selling huge numbers, right? Because if I understand this right, and Jim, if you want to come in, if I understand this right, they look at it and they say, okay, Cleveland, Ohio has 10,000 people in it. So we called three people and they said, I listened to WMMS. So that is, you know, we called 100 people and 30% of them listened to WMMS. Thus, 30% of 10,000 people is 3,000 people listen to WMMS. And why am I? Oh, Blab is changed.
Hey, can you hear me?
Is that basically how they do that? They call a bunch of people, and then based on the city you're in, they multiply.
Well, not anymore. Not anymore. In the big cities, the last few years, it's been something called People Meter. But they take a very small sample of, and TV ratings and radio ratings are different, but I'm talking about radio ratings. And in the bigger market, what they do is you wear a meter. And it's a very small sample. We're talking maybe a few thousand people in a big metro like Cleveland. And based on a signal that is embedded in the radio station signal, that meter will pick it up. Now, it's actually much more exact than the old way, which was, here's a piece of paper, here's a diary. Right. Fill out, and people would, you know, and I'm from Cleveland too. So they would say, for example, a popular guy here's over the years has been John Lanigan. And if they listen to Lanigan in the morning, they might write on their diary, or they might write WMJI, which is the station he used to be on. And they might write it like that and say they listened all day when they only listened when Lanigan was on. So it was very inaccurate. And I'm not convinced it's accurate now. So I agree with you. Why would you go from an exact measurement? We have X amount of downloads to something that is a sample. I don't get it. What I'm afraid of, and I've been podcasting since 2005, is that what they're trying to do is figure out a way to edge out the indies. That's kind of my concern. Well, you're not NPR. You're not in a network. Therefore, you are not official. That's my concern.
Yeah, it seems that way. And the reason, because I'm like, why would they want inflated numbers? Because they're used to selling really low CPMs on the radio side. So if they sell low CPMs on the podcast side, and these people don't get good return on investment, because we say you have 10,000 listeners, but really you have, I don't know, four. Well, you're not going to get the same return as you would if you actually were honest and said we had 4,000 listeners.
Right.
But now we don't care because we're charging you next to nothing. So the return on investment fits, but it just looks better. And I go back to my business school training from the one and only Shark Tank. And if you want to see sharks run away from anything, have a product that involves educating your target audience. And they will just go, nah, I'm not getting involved. If I've got to teach people how this new thing on the shelf, they're like, nah. Right. And that's the whole thing. You have to now train ad buyers on
and the, they're the hardest people in, yeah, it's the hardest people in the world, at least when I worked in local radio, because that's what I did. I wasn't in front of the mic. I was on the sales side. And that's ad buyers just want to know what's your cost in radio. They call it cost per point. It's not cost per thousand, but they call it cost per point. What's your cost per point? What's your demographic here? And let's pump it in the computer program and let's see if you can hit my matched cost per point. You keep playing with the what they call day parts to get it down. It's all a big game. And I think they're trying to commoditize podcasting is the idea, just to make us all equal and all the same. We don't have our unique audiences. You know, who can you reach for the cheapest amount? And the effect will be to bring down the ad rates. So I'm not a big fan of it at all.
Yeah. So you used to be in radio sales?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just pick your brain. How would you like, I'm Joe Podcaster and I want to sell ads on my show. Like what's, can you give us like a selling ads 101?
Well, I mean, you try to find you're trying to find products that fit your podcast. I mean, things that go along. You had a great show with your horse racing guy.
Right.
That guy's fantastic. But try to find things that are compatible with your audience or things that you will think that will appeal to your audience. Now, I believe me, even though I was in ad sales, I don't have as many ads on my podcasts as I'd like to. And some of them I sell individually and some of them I go through a third party, like some of the companies you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really important, you know, if you have a podcast on, I don't know, knitting, don't go and try to sell somebody that sells car tires. Try to find somebody that sells products that are compatible with knitting and really look for the people in that particular industry. And I used to sell for a classical music station. I sold for a bunch of different stations, but a classical music station. And one of the things that we really did is just figure out, what do people who like classical music, who go to the orchestra, what do they buy? What do they purchase? You just take the same concept and apply it to your podcast. I think that's one of the biggest things you can do.
That's it. It's all about, and that means you have to know who your audience is so that you have a product that fits that route. How have you been podcasting since 2005? You're in Cleveland and yet I don't know you. That's really, I'm not. Like, where have you been, man? I'm like, there are.
No, I podcast on the paranormal. So it's kind of an odd topic. And I've been doing it since 2005, dabbled until 2008, got serious in 2008 and have been doing it full time. June will be 4 years.
What's your website?
JimHerold.com.
There you go. And do you have any because of my podcast stories?
Because of my podcast, I was able to quit my day job and do this full time.
Very cool. Gotta love that. How long did it take you to do that?
What did I say? 4 years, 2012. I started in 2005, 7 years.
There you go. See, because a lot of people want to do it in 7 weeks.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that. And the thing was, is that, you know, I was putting out 3 or 4 podcasts a week and had a full-time job for a couple of years. I kind of ramped 2005 to 2008, very slow. 2008 to 2012, just kept ramping it up. Started a premium site, jimherold.net, doing the advertiser thing as well. Now I have some books out. So it's really one of those deals where
multiple just
growing
streams.
It slowly. Yeah. Growing it slowly over time. And believe me, I'm not raking in billions of bucks, but I'm making a living and I just hope it continues to grow.
And the lights are on. I see you behind you. So that's always a good
thing. Yeah. There's lights.
Yeah. How long did it take you to launch your premium stuff?
That was actually probably about 8 months between the time that I thought of it and did it and listened to how a bunch of different people did it. And
cool.
And
what do you use for that?
I use Wishlist Member.
Okay. That's a good one. The other thing I always like to pick, and if you'd like to say, Dave, I don't want to answer that.
No,
when you like, hey, everybody, we have the premium membership thing. Cause everybody's like, if I could just get, even if I got 50% of the people to sign up, any idea like what percentage signed up based on maybe your downloads?
At the, well, I think right now it's probably like maybe, I mean, I have a fairly some fairly popular podcast, and I think it's a relatively small number compared to the, it's maybe 5%.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, usually it's like 3%, 4%.
But that's 5%. Okay, because with the free shows, I have ads, or hopefully I have ads. I don't have nearly, ironically, having sold ads, I don't have nearly as many ads as I should have.
Oh, there you go. But that's, well, very cool, man. I'll have to check it out. JimHerald.com. And then if you want the premium stuff, JimHerald.com.
Yeah, but I really tell people, don't even worry about the premium stuff. Listen to the free stuff. See if you like it. Get into that. Get all that. I mean, because you can get, I think, what, about 25 free shows over there at any given time, the last 90 days on both my shows, which are the Paranormal Podcast. And the other one is called Campfire, which is where people call in and tell their ghost stories. So get all that free stuff first. And then if you become a super fan, then sign up to the Plus Club.
I like that. And ClevelandPodcasters.com, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I've been meaning to check that out.
We meet once a month, so.
yeah, I got to check that out.
Awesome. Cool.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yep. And I'm trying to figure out what Mike Phillips doesn't do. Mike, I believe, was a lawyer or is a lawyer. He's been an audio engineer, and he just said in the chat room, I used to sell radio ads. So I'm pretty sure, like, you know, if I started talking about teeth, Mike would go, I used to be a dentist. It's just the way he rolls, apparently. This is one of the things I love about this show is you'll have somebody come in and go, oh, yeah, I used to do radio sales. I'm like, cool, cool. Let me pick your brain. Oh, yeah, I'm making a living with my podcast. Really? Wow, cool. Awesome. So you never know. My father-in-law's a dentist, Mike says. So that's always kind of interesting that you never know what you're going to get. Now, for anybody on the whole blab thing, it now says one person is calling in. I click on show callers and I can see it is the No Cupcake Man is coming back in. He's got a cool logo now. My friend. There he is. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Hey, I want to give a huge shout out to Daniel Lewis, man. He finally got me to figure out how to do mix minus.
Ah, there you go. Give
a shout out to him, man.
The Audacity for Podcast.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
And PodcasterSociety.com.
Yeah, man. I love that dude's videos, man. So, hey.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. Great guy, man. I know he's in the room, man. But shout out to him again, man. Yeah. My question this week is I figured that out. I used Pamela, you know, to record an interview. Sounded absolutely terrible. I can't figure out how to do it directly into Audacity yet. I tried to read a couple things on that. I looked on your website and I think you recommended Pamela too, but with Pamela, it just like, there's really no point of having a mic because it sounded just like we're both talking on the phone.
Yeah, I need to install Pamela on my machine. I'm a little out of practice with Pamela. I know you can go in and you want it to record in a wave format. Anytime you record anything, you want to record in a wave format. I know you can go in and tell it to have like you in one speaker and your guest in the other. That makes for ease of editing. I use a program called CallBurner that records Skype. I think they're all a little flaky on the PC side. This is one of those where it's like, I've never heard anybody on the Mac side say, yeah, I use Ecamm Call Recorder. And on episode number 128, I have none of those things. I wish that's the one thing. It's like, if I have a Mac and if I do Skype recording, I should install Call Recorder on that. But even Call Burner, I was doing something about 2 weeks ago and in the middle of it, it just quit recording for no apparent reason. Pamela, I haven't used enough to, really say it's completely reliable. I've used it like 5 or 6 times. Right. But it always seems a little, like, for lack of a better phrase, fuzzy. Like, even when I record as a wave, I'm like, this does not sound like what I heard in my headphones. And if it's a wave file, in theory, what you hear is what you get. So that's kind of interesting. And I was using Hindenburg Journalist has a pro version. Now, it's a $300 software program that records Skype, which is cool because it does separate you and the guest, and same thing halfway through the recording the one day, it just went boop and just quit recording. And I was like, that's why I always use a portable recorder. He tried to say,
Yeah, that was the next question I was going to ask. Is that, I mean, honestly, like the Zoom H4N, is that the only foolproof way to get the best audio?
Yeah, this is the 5N. The 4N is the older model. You could probably pick it up a little cheaper. It's not a bad unit. That's the foolproof way. I always try to have something going in the background to record that, just because the more important the guest, the higher likely that you're going to have the software eat your interview. This is a Roland R-05. This one's not bad. I like the Zoom H5 because I can plug a microphone directly into it. It's actually got XLR jacks on the bottom, and I just unplugged my recording.
Now, I've been using my laptop, and I thought, you know, the reason I was trying to go to Mix Minus because I was using virtual cables on Spreaker to do my podcast, my interviews. And there was a lot of clipping, you know, because could that have to do with the RAM access or?
No, clipping is usually caused because your microphone's too loud. And okay. So when it's weird in audio, but you go up to zero, which sounds so weird, but you actually go up to zero, and anything over zero when you're recording can cause it to just sound distorted. And so, and in some cases it causes this weird kind of clicking noise, but generally it just sounds distorted. And so that's where you have to watch, like, I can see if I can do this without unplugging it this time, but I, on my meter here, and when I talk, I'm going close to zero, but not quite. I want to be somewhere between -6 and -12. And so when I do this, you know, if you go ahead and talk.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's getting a nice strong signal without going over zero. Because if I get too timid with it and it only goes up a little bit, well then that rest of the part of where it could be going up to zero gets filled in with hiss. So for anybody listening to the audio, I was showing them the meter and it was going up almost to zero. It's one of those things where I just realized I did something very visual in an audio podcast.
I don't know if I'm behind, like when you first started podcasting, how long did it really, I'm very self-conscious about the, you know, the audio of it. How long did it really take you to get that part mastered?
In terms of the way it sounds?
So like it sounds professional, because like every time I listen to every podcast, I'm like, man, this sounds horrible, man. I should have did a better job on this, or I should have did a better job on that. But how, I mean, did it take like a couple years for you to finally get it all together?
I mean, if I do this, all right, let me play here for a second. All right. So I'm playing with my EQ, right? There's no upper end. There's no lower end. You know, this sounds pretty horrible right now. There we go. Now I sound like the AM radio, but you can still understand me. So if I'm telling you right now, if you follow these steps, you'll make $2,000 a month. Would you listen to this? If I'm telling you, $2,000 a month working 4 hours a month, all you got to do is follow A, B, C, and D. Would you listen to this?
Yeah.
Because I'm bringing value. Now, if I make it so that it's, you know, if I sound like this, all this, it just, that's not going to work because it's distracting. But as long as you can listen to it, let me go back to normal here. That's, there we go. There are people, and I'm not one of them, that are self-professed audio snobs. I'm a guy that says it's got to be listenable. And I mean, if I listen to, like, if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com, I think /1, you'll hear my first podcast. I was using a Shure SM58, making a whole bunch of mistakes. I was recording as an MP3 file. I was editing as an MP3 file. And then I put it out as an MP3. And there's a lot of in the background. But the content hopefully was good enough for people to overcome that. Now, I wouldn't do that today, but there are those things. I'll give you an example. I'm doing a talk in Florida next week, and I use this example of how it's not the audio quality that makes good listeners. And I'll give you a point. Let's see if the chat room can see who I'm going for. I'm a big, I like hard rock. And if I were to say, take away Black Sabbath, take away Led Zeppelin and Iron Maiden, and Judas Priest, who today is one of the like top heavy metal bands of all time. Who would you guys say? Come on, Sean. You know you got it. No, it's not ABBA. Good guess, though, Mike. Metallica. There you go. Tell him what he's won. It's a cheese straightener. Excellent. Right. Metallica. So Metallica is like, that is like the top of the heap in metal. They did an album with Lou Reed. Now, me as a musician, God bless, God rest his soul, I have never, ever understood Lou Reed. Take a Walk on the Wild Side. I got it. One hit wonder. Goodbye. But this guy's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Why? I have no idea. So in my opinion, have you ever heard the phrase, you can't polish a turd? In my opinion, and yeah, I'm going to say it, Lou Reed is a turd in my book. I just don't get him, right? But you take the magic of Metallica, Metallica, right? Polish up Lou Reed. Guess what? That album, they did an album with Lou Reed. It's horrible. It's absolutely unlistenable in my opinion. So, but think about it. Awesome. It sounds awesome. Great quality. I mean, top of the line studio, horrible content. So we get really hung up on, oh, if I only had a DBX 286S, I could do a podcast. If I only had this Behringer thing, if I only had that, if I start with the content, because if you're bringing value to your audience and it sounds a little bit like this, it'll be okay. And you could always fix it later. So, but, yeah, now over the years, I have, you know, I went from a Shure SM58 to a, Audio Technica 2020 microphone. Cause I wanted, actually, I went to an AKG 3035. Cause there was this voiceover guy that just sounded phenomenal. I'm like, what mic do you use? And I went out and bought it. It was like $300. Well, it's a condenser mic and it picks up everything in the room. And I was like, that is not going to work. Cause at that time I was podcasting in the basement next to the water heater. So that didn't work. So then, I tried another condenser mic cause I'm an idiot. So there was another $99 that went out the door. And then, I finally went back to the Shure SM58. And then later I switched to, let's see. I used that for many, many moons. And then I asked to review this microphone from, Electro Voice. And they said, cool. And I played with it and it was like, oh, this is awesome. Who do I send it back to? And they said, well, do you want to buy it? And I said, I can't afford it. It's $300. And I said, but I'll barter for it. How about if I talk about it on my show for a month and a half and I get to keep it? And they're like, done. So I got this microphone for free. Now it wasn't free. I had to bore my audience for a month and a half. Don't let those people write the ad. Oh, it was horrible. But anyway. And then I found this microphone, the Audio Technica 2100, and I use this for Skype and I use it for a couple different things, depending on my scenario. But I've got a Audio Technica BP40 in the other room that I need to give them back. I keep asking them about it. And they're like, yeah, whatever, just whenever you feel like it. It's not a horrible mic. It's actually a pretty good mic. But in the end, it might sound, I don't know, a little different. You know, so like this might be the BP40 and this is me here. In the end, it's not that much of a difference to where people go, well, I would listen more, but he's got too much 2K in his EQ. He needs to. Now it's all right. It's all about the content of my. As long as your audio is not distracting, I think it's okay. And to me, I'll give you an example. Paul Culligan is a friend of mine, and Paul's kind of fun because he records all over the place. And there are times it sounds like Paul is podcasting from a submarine. It's like, today on the podcast report, we're talking about such and such. And I'm like, what is he doing? You know? And the audio technically is like, ick. And almost on the edge of distracting, but he'll get me to think or he'll have an insight into some big company that I didn't know was happening. And so I will put up with Paul occasionally sounding like this because his content's good. So yeah. Content will always trump audio quality. Nobody's going to listen to Kaka. You know, here's another example. Van Halen 3. Van Halen 3 is the second time Sammy Hagar left the band. They brought in a really phenomenal singer from Extreme. This guy's name is Gary Cherone. Phenomenal singer. But the songs, including the very last one, where Eddie Van Halen, guitar virtuoso, is playing the piano, singing a song about his dead grandmother. Not good content. So, you know, state-of-the-art recording studio, phenomenal musicians, songs just... bit the big one. Yeah. So I call it Van Halen 3 because seriously, I've had that album for probably over 10 years. I've listened to it 3 times. And every time I listen to it, I go, wow, how can this be this bad? And there's like one song on there that's just not, you know, that's good. And then the other ones are, and by the time you get to the end of the album, you're like, is this over yet? So yeah. It's all about content.
Yeah. Is your connection on your desktop computer?
My connection is, yeah, I go basically from this into a mixer. Anything, if I'm doing Blab or Skype or whatever, it's plugged in. I don't do, like, I have a laptop over here that's wireless, but if I was doing some recording or Skyping with this, I would plug that bad boy in. Okay. Not that you can't do things on wireless, but if you can avoid it, get the best connection you can. When you're on Skype, close down everything but Skype and Pamela or whatever you're using to record it so that your computer can really focus on just those things. Don't have Outlook and Twitter, and close all that stuff up to leave your memory for that kind of thing.
Okay. So, last question. You use Spreaker, right?
I use Spreaker. Yep, I do.
Plays on Spreaker, how much value do you put on that?
Any play I give is good to me. Spreaker has always, I finally canceled my SoundCloud account because I was getting literally single digit downloads over there. And I'm like, that's not worth $15 in my book. Spreaker brings me about 11% of my audience. Now that's not, you know, it's not 80, it's not 90, but it's 11%, because there's a pretty active, audience over there. There's a community over there. They have their own app and that whole nine yards. Now, if I was on a budget and I was using Libsyn or Blueberry, you can have there is a free account for Spreaker, but you can only have so many episodes, you know, and if that's, you know, you could throw that up there, see what happens and see how many plays you get. But I can guarantee you, at least in my travels from what I've done, I've always got more plays on Spreaker than I did on SoundCloud.
Okay. So, cause I'm not on any of those one apps like Podbean or anything like that. Yeah. And I don't even know, will it even bring any value? Cause I'm having trouble getting people to go on iTunes just to download my thing. I don't know. Cause right now all I'm using is Facebook and Twitter to promote my podcast. Mm-hmm. And I did the statistics. Most of it, most of my plays come, on the beta form of Spreaker. And I don't know, am I doing myself a disservice by not going on those other applications and getting people to subscribe?
Well, you always want to, like, what's your website address?
I don't have a website.
Oh, there's problem number one. Yeah. In my opinion, can you do a podcast without a website? Yeah. But, for things like directing people to stuff, like for me, you can go to askthepodcastcoach.com/iTunes and boom, no more searching for iTunes. You're right there. Click on the subscribe button. When you make it hard for people, they're going to check out. Yeah. And that way, like for us, we're at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. Last week, Stargate Pioneer from, betterpodcastinggear.com, or Better Podcasting SP, help me out, buddy. He does a show on Blab and Blab went down. Well, I always promote askthepodcastcoach.com/live. So if Blab ever goes down, I'll just switch over to Hangouts. Everybody knows where to go. And that's where Dave will be at. So yeah, betterpodcasting.com is where SP is. So he couldn't do a show because Blab was down. I think they switched to Hangouts or whatever. They got to go. But if I just tell people, look for us on Blab and I'm not on Blab, you know. So to me, your website is always your main hurdle. And then Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, Anchor, all this stuff are the little planets surrounding your sun that is your website. That way, if any of those go kaput, people still know where to find you. Because back in the day, there was a website called mp3.com, and people were making a living with their music on mp3.com. It was so huge. It was gigantic. It was, oh my gosh. And guess what? There were also people doing a lot of legal things on mp3.com. They were playing unlicensed music and things like that. And they got sued. They got bought. They got shut down. They got relaunched. They got sued again. They got sold. And now mp3.com is just nothing. And the bad news is there were tons of people on mp3.com that just said, hey, go to mp3.com/Dave and you can buy my stuff. Well, the bad news is there was no website. There was no email, nothing. So when mp3.com went down, those people who are making a living lost their fan base, and their fan base had to then go search to find them. Whereas if they had said, here's my website and here's my mp3.com page, when that goes away, people always know I can go back here and find out what's going on with Dave. So you always want to have your website. That's my philosophy for that. Have your main website be your thing, because as much as people go, people think I'm nuts. I say somewhere in the next 10 to 20 years, if Facebook keeps doing some of the weird things they're doing, Facebook will get replaced, because number one, nobody wants to use the technology that your parents did. Think about that one.
No.
And number two, they keep messing with giving away your privacy. And I'm starting to play with Facebook ads. It is spooky the amount of information that Facebook has on you. And so I'm weird. I'll say 10, 20 years, I could see Facebook going away, because anybody remember a thing called MySpace that was too huge, that was too huge to fail? So
where's Tom?
Exactly. So I always say have that website as your rock, and then all these other little things can be your satellite offices. All right, my man.
All right, man. I'm sorry, I'm at work. I didn't mean to tune out, but
that's all right.
Square, you think Squarespace is okay? Because I was gonna try that tonight. Squarespace.
Nah. I'd go with a self-hosted WordPress. Send me an email, man. Dave@schoolpodcasting.com. I'll get you on the old quick start program. We'll set you up a WordPress site, and you buy a hosting through me. I earn an affiliate commission on that, and then basically I will install WordPress for you and a couple plugins, and we'll get you going.
Okay.
Dave@schoolpodcasting.com. Thank you, man. We'll get your cupcakes rocking and rolling. I'm so weird. I clicked on kick, and I don't want to kick him out of the thing. I just wanted to close his window.
They've changed everything this week.
It is. So yeah, what did you do in that case? Everybody, welcome to the show. Stargate Pioneer from betterpodcasting.com. Blab went down. What was your plan B in that case?
Yeah, Blab went down for about 3 hours. Our plan B was to just broadcast via Hangouts on Air. And we have a live page on our network that we use anyway that we embed the Blab. But so we tell people to go to Geeks.live. If you don't have a web page, you should still get a domain, because you can subdomain it live.betterpodcasting.com in this case or whatever. So it is definitely something that you should do. And you could redirect that URL wherever you actually are. But we even have a tertiary plan in case it comes to that. But it does hold you up. Like I was waiting until the last moment, and then it almost let us in. And then it just, in the process of getting set up, it crapped out again. So I had to spend the next 15 minutes setting up a Google Hangouts on Air to let that rock and roll. But
yeah, I can tell you right now, I'm not going to not pay them anymore. Think about that one for a while. What are you going to do? It's free, you know?
Exactly. And that's why we have Plan B and Plan C. And we just do it so our audience can come in and live chat with us. You know, we're going to record the podcast, whether it's streamed live or not. So in my case, so it's no big deal.
Excellent. Also joining us from foodcraftsman.com, the one and only Ryan Parker. How are you, my buddy? We can't hear you.
No audio. By the way, my kids refuse to use the same social media that I use.
Yeah. So that's one of the things. It's like, you know, 20 years, let's throw in a generation, and, you know, you can't be on Facebook. Why? Because mom's on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You know, that could be a weird thing. You know, so that's why Snapchat maybe is so huge. It's big amongst the youngins. So you never know.
I'm officially old.
Yeah.
Ryan, you on now? Nope. Not yet. You might need to refresh.
Might have to do the old refresh. There is a question. What service can I use to stream podcasts directly from my site? There are three that I know of. Blog Talk Radio, not my favorite. If you're going to use that, use their beta stream. In my opinion, sorry, Jay, a little overpriced and not my favorite, but it is an option. Number two, Spreaker. Good choice, because it's also a media host. Third one, if you just want to stream and you're already using Libsyn or Blueberry or somebody like that, Mixler's really cool. I actually love Mixler's chat room if you're looking to stream. And Mixler, of course, because E's are evil, MIXLR.com. We'll get you over there. Thank you, Justin Owens, 1234. So any thoughts on that, SB, in terms of streaming?
I used to use Mixler exclusively, and then it just, when I started using Spreaker and Mixler, just dropped off the planet. Now, we weren't using the chat room there either. We were using the chat room on our live page, via Chatwing, or here on Blab. So there really wasn't a use for it anymore. And then the bonus with Spreaker, if you do the $20 a month plan, is that you can use it as a secondary RSS feed. So people can actually subscribe to your RSS feed via Spreaker and get the show like the next day before you've got it edited and out. And then you can replace the file when it's edited out. So I kind of like Spreaker for my personal application, but Mixler is very good too. I just stopped using them.
Yeah. I still have my account. Let's see if Ryan is with us now.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There he is. All right.
I hate when that happens. I apologize, guys. Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
That's I can see the floor to the food craftsman. Thanks, guys. Oh, no.
And now he's gone. Buddy, we can't hear you. And it's weird. It's apparently he can't hear us. This is
go ahead, get him in the chat. Somebody tell him we can't hear. Okay. Yeah. I guess he figured it out.
And never fail.
Cannot hear you. Sorry.
Yeah. You were there and then you weren't. Welcome to Blab.
I don't know. It might be something with the ATR2100s because I have a co-host that keeps on having problems in Firefox and Chrome. So, and she is using an ATR2100 via USB. So that might be it. There might be some kind of driver issue, but I have no idea.
But the good news is if your audio goes in and out, you know what?
No one will punch you in the face.
We just, you know, so we still have Ryan.
Yeah. I didn't talk anyway.
Have you had a chance to play with Anchor yet?
No, I have not.
Yeah, be careful with that. It's a slippery slope.
I'll bet it is.
Yeah, it's very addicting and that whole nine yards. So, but I'll be interested to see if it's around in 6 months. It's one of those. It's like bright and shiny.
Clamor was good when it came out, and it still is. It's just it takes an incredible amount of time to go
to make a clamor.
Yeah. And even if you're just cutting the, 24 seconds now or whatever, and you're not doing any modifications to it or anything, it takes a while. And for me, I can't have my phone with me during the day as I'm working. So I can't just easily clamor away. And of course, it's blocked on the work PC. So there's no way to actually make a clamor at work. So
it's like they want you to do your job or something. What is up with that?
I know it's nasty. You know, they block all sorts of good websites like Facebook and, you know, whatever.
And so. YouTube, I'm supposing. Yeah.
No. Actually, YouTube is good, but the bandwidth is so slow that you can never connect during normal work hours. Pandora is good, too, but that times out after a while, too. Apparently, I'm not a Pandora guy at work, and a couple other guys are. So, like, whatever. Yeah, I let them play with it.
Okay, so here we go. Here comes Justin back in. Mr. Justin Owens, 1234.
And again. Man, Blab is just being cranky this week.
It is. You might have to do the old refresh, Justin. I use, they're talking in the chat room. They're talking about streaming servers. I use abovecast.com. I believe if you go to askthepodcastcoach.com/abovecast. If not, it will be after the show. Yeah, and that's for if you
want to have... How much a month is that? It's like $15 or something like that.
Yeah, it's like $12 a month, I think. 12 or 15.
And what does that do? Just cycle all your episodes through it, or do you define which episodes?
What I actually do, because you have stats on how long people are listening, and so I notice people are listening for about 5 minutes. So I make little snippets of shows and then say, you know, to hear the full interview, go to such and such.
How many of those do you have cycling?
Probably over 20 at this point. So due to a network, I'm having a message here. Something due to network error, make sure your connection isn't blocked by a firewall. So Justin, if you're calling from work, they may have you blocked, which is weird. Like, why would you be able to go to the Blab but not connect?
It happened. Somebody asked me on a Blab last night and I was talking and there was a guy who had been talking for a while, and then all of a sudden that happened, and I couldn't hear or see him, but everybody else could, and I actually had to completely reboot my computer in order to see him. So I don't know if it's on his end or your end or my end or whatever, but something's funky going on with. But once again, I'm just continue not to pay them.
Right, exactly. Point. Well, the other thing that's quit working as we've made this show. There he is questions were showing up and now they're not. Like I see Mike has a question in the chat room, says, earlier you said something about a BP40. Aren't you using an RE320? Yeah, I got a BP40 on loan to play with. It's not a bad microphone. I did an episode where I compared it to the RE320 and the HR2100. And I basically said any of these microphones, if you're using a mixer, you can always tweak it to sound the best you want. It's kind of like comparing... I don't know, Friendly's chocolate ice cream to Breyer's chocolate ice cream to, it's in the end, it's all like, and it's all kind of the same to a certain extent. And you're always going to have a preference over one. But to me, is there such a thing as bad chocolate ice cream? And so with a mixer, you can always just kind of sweeten them up a little bit. So Justin, welcome to the show, buddy. What can we answer for you?
Hey, can you hear me?
We can hear you and we can see you.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually switched and upgraded my internet to 100. I'm pulling 100 megabytes per second down from Time Warner right now with their ultimate package. So, I mean, if it's, and I know there's nothing wrong with my internet in terms of speed right now. So there is definitely something going on with Blab. And so that's my, the other question that I have as a follow-up to what I asked in the chat mm-hmm. is in regard to, so I asked, what service can I use to stream a podcast directly from my site? The reason why I asked that is because I teach on Udemy, and right now I have a following of about 8,000 students, and nice. I'm wanting to actually do podcasts, and I fell in love with Blab. I had another Udemy instructor who I went to, you know, he was advertising and, you know, his podcast on Blab, and I came here to listen to the other instructor. And then I said, well, this is fantastic. I'd like to use this platform, but I'm noticing as I've been using it, because I've been on for 7 days on Blab now, there's a lot of instability, it seems like. And so my question, my follow-up question to you is, do you, if I were to send out an email campaign to my 8,000 students, I know obviously I'm not going to get 8,000 of them to come to Blab, but if I get 50 or 100 people, does that have stability in terms of maintaining a Blab for a two-hour session?
SBL, I'll let you take that one.
So I've experienced mixed results. I've had long, long blabs that have been very stable. And just recently, like this week, it has been instable. But, and that's what we were talking about before. It doesn't matter where you send them to. If you send them to a live page, even if it's a subdomain, like you don't even have to have a web page. You just make a subdomain live.yourpodcast.com and then put the URL to a Google Hangouts on Air or the Blab URL or whatever. You forward the domain or the subdomain to wherever you're going to have it. And that way you can change it if you need to, and you can go ahead and do that. So, but you're going to have 50 to 100 people show up. Is this just you talking, or do you want interaction? Or
obviously, I want people calling in. The point of the podcast is to help my students out for the courses that I'm teaching. So I want to be able to connect with them in a way that is, you know, something that not a lot of instructors are doing live podcasts, and only the most successful ones in the top 10% are doing that, taking the time out of their day to do that. And I'm trying to do that. So, I mean, but I don't want it to set myself up for failure and have a Blab on recording, have, you know, guest speakers, and then have Blab, you know, dump me, yeah. dump me on the gutter.
I use zoom.us for, I do a thing at the school of podcasting called Office Hours, where it's basically just an open, you know, it's always hilarious. It was scheduled for an hour last night. It went about 2.5 because when you get Dave talking about podcasting, he just won't shut up. And so I'm not sure what the limit is on the number of people that can show up in those things. It's huge. And what's cool is I can record the meeting. It also, at the end of it, gives me a text file of the chat. That's really awesome. And it also gives me the audio file. Now, the audio is not horrible audio quality. I wish it was a little more ramped up. I wish it was like 128 mono or 64 mono. I think it's like 48 or something. It's like so close to being where I want it to be. But I like Zoom. If you do less than 45 minutes, it's free. I think I pay $12 a month for zoom.us. But it's kind of like a private Skype. And the thing I like about it is if you need to, you can have your students share your screen. And then when they're sharing your screen, you can take over their mouse. So it's pretty sweet as a support tool as well. There are times when I'm like, hold on a second, let me see what you're doing. And I just pull them into a Zoom meeting and then I grab their mouse and go to town.
And I'm actually looking at zoom.us right now. And so is this one of the things that I could do a streaming podcast from my website? Because what I'd like to do is, just like you were saying, is have your website be your main phase and then have the planets. This, you know, Blab would be a planet that circles around my actual, you know, platform itself.
Yeah, it's more for private meetings. But if you invite your students, you know, they'll have the link. You know, but if it's like, hey, just everybody go to such and such. No, I don't think it's embeddable, unfortunately. But Blab is, Hangouts are. It kind of depends on, you know, again, what you're looking to do. What do you teach at Udemy?
I teach online business and entrepreneurship.
Oh, cool.
Also, I'm also breaking off because Udemy is really tech savvy. I'm breaking off into software instruction because the number one sales courses on Udemy are for software development and going over how to learn how to take certain software courses within a certain amount of time. They provide certifications and things like that. So it's been really successful. So software and business are the number one and number two areas there. So I'm definitely trying to target that audience. But no, I was just wondering about that. I'll get off here. But so you said that I can embed this blab into like the homepage of my website.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's something that's impressive to me, even if it does go down. So I'm just checking out Blab.
I'm trying to think of how long I've been on Blab, but I've never had a problem. The only problem I have is people getting in and out and you know, that whole nine yards at times because trying to, like, if you look up now in your address bar, if you go all the way over to the right of your address bar, you'll see a little picture of a camera.
Right.
And that's where people have to, well, you know that because you were playing with it earlier. But trying to explain that to somebody who's not super tech savvy is a bit of a challenge at times. So one of the things I need to do is I need to, like, get on Blab as a participant and take a screenshot and say, here's what you need to do and have a tutorial. And then I would have that on my page. It's like, if you're going to connect live, it'd be nice if I could say, well, I'm so sorry that you're trying to come in. Go to, you know, askthepodcastcoach.com/problem or something like that and show them what to do so they could get back in. So,
yeah. All right. Well, thank you all.
Thank you, Justin. You have a website you want to plug while you're here?
Well, I mean, it's on my profile that I have here on Blab, but I appreciate you asking that. There you go.
JoeBryan.com. Awesome.
There you go. Brian.
Thanks, my man.
Oh, thank you. Have a good day.
All right.
You too, Brian.
So, well,
it's about that time for you, Dave.
It is about that time. Let's hit the fun field. Ask the podcast coach music. So, well, let's see if you can pass the test. Do you have any idea what your next episode is going to be about?
Oh yeah, absolutely. For better podcasting.
Yeah,
we plan out the arcs, man. We got it down.
Look at you. So I'm just winging it. I'm making it up as we go along.
Well, for this show, it's supposed to be winging it.
Well, I mean, for the School of Podcasting, I know this week I'm going to talk to somebody. We're going to compare Voxer to Anchor. And then above that, I got a whole lot of nothing and it's coming out in 2 days. But that's what I do on Saturday. So I spend the whole day digging deep, looking for that value for my audience. But awesome.
You continue to bring it, sir.
I try, my friend. And, so yeah, we are here every Saturday, askthepodcastcoach.com/live. If you'd like to be an awesome supporter, that was another backup topic I had today. I have two Patreon accounts. I highly recommend you do not have two Patreon accounts because it turns out I was sending everybody from askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome to the wrong Patreon account. So now I have all these people and I'm probably going to go close one of those because I always like to play and one of them was per video and one of them was per month. And I went, ooh, that was, and it's really, that's a whole other story. But it looks, when you have two Patreon accounts, A, make sure the graphics are completely different so you can tell which one is which. Otherwise, it's really easy to get them confused. But I might go into that in the post show, which if you're new to the show, it sounds like we're closing down. But we always do a little more after this for the post show. And that's one of the things you get when you are an awesome supporter. And you can get that stuff. I also had a video this week on how to download Wistia videos. So if you see a Wistia video on somebody's website and you're like, ah, crap, because there's no speed up button on that, I show you the hack on how to do that. So you can find that at askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome. And we'll see you next week. Actually, I won't. Jim will be here, though.